Good evening, everybody. I'm excited to teach you a sugya this evening that has meant a lot to me for several years now. And that is the question of, is it okay to smell chametz on Pesach? So you're not allowed to eat chametz, not allowed to own chametz, not allowed to benefit from chametz. And the major question this evening is going to be, can you benefit from the smell of chametz? So first of all, I want to be loyal to our weekly connection of to the Parsha. I was very proud of myself. I have to thank AllahTorah.org. They have a feature that you can look at the Parsha specifically with the Moneh HaMitzvos. So, you know, what is that? For Achinuch, the Bahag, the Rambam, I mean, anyone who counts the 613 Mitzvos, you know, organized by Parsha. So I don't think I would have found this Ramban if not for AllahTorah.org. But guess what mitzvah is found in Parshas Tazria, according to the Ramban. Says Parshas Tazria, so if one were to see the affliction on the clothing spread, so that means that is saras. Okay, very nice. Seemingly just a basic pasuk that is just another detail among many other details, but saras. Yet the Ramban, in his commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, so he writes that the Rambam forgot to count the following as one of the 613 mitzvos. The 14th asay that the Rambam forgot, according to the Ramban, is that we have a biblical commandment, shenitztavinu laharchik melehanos beged shenirabo negatzaras. What an amazing isser mitzvah. Meaning, if a tzaras affliction appears in your clothing, you have a positive commandment to distance yourself and not get benefit from that article of clothing. And that's what the Torah means by saying, tzaras mam'eres hanega tamehu. Meaning, what does the word mam'eres mean? The Sifra darshins tzaras mam'eres, meaning tein bo me'era. Literally put a curse in that clothing, al tehane bo, meaning you're not allowed to get benefit from that article of clothing. Wow. So again, it's interesting. I would have said it's an iser, meaning a lo sa'aseh. The Ramban is actually counting as an aseh. You are commanded to distance yourself from benefiting from an article of clothing that has saras in it. But how does that connect to Hilchos Pesach? So in the Parsha, we learn that according to the Ramban, there's an Isser Hana'ah of Tzara'as. So if you were to try to write down all of the various examples in the Torah of things that you're not allowed to get benefit from, right? So let's say Orla, and one would come up with Chametz, maybe probably the most common example, Avodah Zarah. And all of a sudden, Tzara'as is another example in the Torah, according to the Ramban, where one of the 613 mitzvahs is to actively distance yourself from getting benefit from tzaras, or at least from the clothing with tzaras in it. Fascinating Ramban. Okay, so as the Parsha is now connecting us to the Isser Hana of chametz, the major question for this evening is smelling chametz. Is that included in the Isser Hana? So a couple of stories to introduce the sugya. So I used to live in Washington Heights. And on Pesach, at least when I lived in the Heights, the minyanim did not really exist in YU over Pesach, and it was very common to walk to the, you know, the pillar, the Torah establishment, the Mount Sinai Shul, Rabbi Taubis now, and they've merged with the Bridge Shul. All amazing things going on in that particular shul, you know, certainly an underrated shul, and we'd always go there. You know, it was like the thing. You'd walk to the, you know, Mount Sinai. That's where you would go to daven. You catch Mincha, Maariv, Shachar, whatever. But what's between the YU side and Mount Sinai? The Grulon Bakery on the corner of 187th and, you know, Fort Tryon, enough, whatever. Fort Washington, whatever, you know, whatever, one of those corners. And inevitably, when you would walk to shul, you would smell a very pleasant aroma of the non-Jewish, non-kosher chametz baked goods on Pesach. So the question was like a genuine question. I wasn't sure if this was allowed, like as I'm walking to Mincha, you know. It's like, is this allowed? And Rabbi Ezra Schwartz, who was the rabbi of the shul, and also had the same exact scenario and actually had given a shiur on why you Torah on that very topic. I was very excited that someone had asked this question, and I was in touch with Rabbi Ezra Schwartz about it. And last year, 2021, none other than our Mor Da'aser, Rabbi Markowitz Shlita, contracted COVID-19 about one day before Shabbos HaGadol. So, you know, again, it's not a rabbi's worst nightmare. I didn't have to, like, run a funeral, like, last minute, not knowing at all what to do. However, not a nightmare, but something that, you know, you don't necessarily hope to happen, is you get, like, a call on Erev Shabbos. Can you, by the way, fill in for the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha? You know, like, one of these, like, classic COVID scenarios. And last year, so out of my back pocket, I did teach a little bit about this sugya as the sugya to darshan. Again, we did most of the halacha, and then we did at the end of some drush and musar, etc., about smelling chametz on Pesach. So this evening, we'll go into even more detail. So Bezos Hashem will try to come out with some practical halacha and a little bit of lumdus as to how to go about this sugya. Okay, yeah. Oh, Nabisco, all of a shalom, right? So the Oreos are no longer on Pesach, Nabisco. Yeah, I never lived in the Fairland that is, you speak of, yeah.
We don't make a bracha on it.
Oh, very good. So Peter is, sorry, very good. So Peter points out that Nabisco in the air, Fairland, might pose the same shot. Stuart saying, well, you wouldn't make a birchas harayach on such a smell. And Adam is dropping the term l'reichel amilsi. So these are all terms connected to the sugya. Oh, very good. So that is... Very good. These are all the questions. Very good. So Me'ila Behektish, Mamashol, this is the sugya. You're nailing it. Right, so they would get Hana'a. Right, so you're saying every person in Yerushalayim would get the smell of the Pesamim, the Ketores. Right, and they're, so clearly they're benefiting from that country. Very good, Stuart. Here's a good Raya.
And some of them might see you travel on Facebook, on an airplane, etc. Working.
Right. Right. It's going to come up inevitably. You don't have to pass a bakery, but many people will be in the scenario where they will smell chametz to some degree. Right. Barbecue. Right. It's going to come up. Very good. Very good. Because of halachically? I mean, because you don't want to smell. Very good. So Stuart, you're saying you smell it and you want it and you can't have it. So that's called not called enough. Very good. It's like a... That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Pregnant women, stuff like that, we say. Yeah, very good. Very good. Okay. So let's start with the Rambam. Number one, just to reiterate the Isser of the prohibition not to receive benefit from Chametz. So it says the Rambam, Hachos Chametz Matzah, Perek Aleph, Hacha Aleph of Mamas, you know, maybe it's Hacha Beis. Chametz Bepesach Aser Bahana. Shremer Velo Yeachel Chametz. So Chametz shall not be consumed. Lo Yehe Bo Heter. Achil. Okay, so a loaded Rambam, but essentially on the books from the Pasuk Velo Ye Achel, included in the prohibition to not eat, is also the prohibition to not enjoy chametz. And the Shulchan Aruch Paskins on an Erev Pesach, right, we know that the Isser of chametz slowly sets in. So biblically, chametz mivav shos ulmala biyom yedalet aser b'hana. So on a D'oraisa level, right, what's the halacha? That you can get a hana'a, you can eat chametz all up through the first 6 hours of the day. However, what did the chachamim come along and say? They said, no. Even though the first 6 hours are okay, we're only going to allow you to enjoy chametz for the first 4 hours of the day. And therefore, starting with the fifth hour, there's already some form of prohibition. But the fifth hour, at least mutter b'hana'a. This is the Shulchan Aruch Taf Mem Gimel Sif Aleph. Okay, and that's when we sell the chametz, usually in that fifth hour. And in the sixth hour, that is when the Issur Midrabanan fully sets in of no longer are we allowed to not only eat it, but we can't even benefit from it. And that's classically right when we burn the chametz, right? So, v'yivar mashi yishayru mimenu u'mitchila sha shishas u'lamala asru gam b'hana. So, starting in the sixth hour, we are no longer allowed to, we don't do it at all. Again, I have to brush up my details. Again, I always have to remind myself when's exactly the best time to burn it. You know, like a little bit later on in the process, but not too late, not too early. I have to chazer those dinim. But, okay, I just wanted to point out over here that there's an Isra Hana'a of Chametz in addition to the Isra Achila. Very nice. Okay. And in that Simen of Shulchan Aruch, Tav Mem Gimel, the Bi'ur Alach and the Chavetz Chaim, so he wants to discuss this Shaila, this evening Shaila. So here it is. Kasva Achronim, Be Simen Tav Memches, Tila Fi Zeh, meaning being that there's an Isra Hana'a, Asa Lehareach Gam Pas Chamashal Akum. There it is. So one Shita on the Achronim holds that included in the Isra Hana'a is the Isra to smell hot bread of Goyim. And then he quotes the Sefer Chemed Moshe, which says that's ridiculous. Why? Because what do we hold? Da'avar she'eino omed l'reach mutter l'hariach bo. So something that is not meant to be smelled, so there's no issue halachically if you're smelling it. Meaning you're doing something that's weird because objectively the item that you're smelling is not intended to enjoy that way. So therefore, what you're doing, it doesn't really have halachic consequences. So now, would you call bread something that is normally smelled or not? What would you say? What would you say? Derech agav. You enjoy it. But it's not as, I mean, obviously bread is meant to be eaten. There's no question about that. Would anyone argue that is mamish meant to be smelled also? A lot of real estate. Very good. So, yeah, so anyone who's in marketing, right, so Carol Weissman, she at our Prava, you know, Sam Markowitz is making challah, you know, on Friday as we arrived in Fairlawn. You know, yeah, so certainly the effects of a good-smelling bread can do a lot of good. At the same time, that's not the primary intention.
The idea is not to get enough from the farmer.
Ah, so it says AB.
You don't really eat the bread.
Good.
So that's the hana you get from chametz. Smelling it, there's an aroma, but then you're not eating the chametz.
Meaning the Isra hana'a is related to the Isra achila, and therefore what? Because
smelling it, you're not doing, it's not a way of consuming the chametz.
Ah, very. So now, so this is where AB is really getting onto the circuit of Rechala Milsi. That just the physical act of inhaling a smell, whatever you want to call it, is not an act of enjoyment objective.
It's not gustatory.
Right. So you're not inhaling it in the same way as a food. So the halacha would not value that level of hana. Right? So that's a huge sugya in the Gemara. Very good. Okay. Ah, there it is. Very good. That's the next source. Very good. Very good. So the Bi'ur Halacha, the response to the Chemed Moshe. It's not so clear that the Chemed Moshe is right. The Chemed Moshe said that bread is not intended to smell. He says, "Wait a minute. We have a halachas about this stuff. So if you were to look at what Reish Tes Vav, Reish Tes Zayin, rather, what is the last Ramah in Hilchos Birchos Aperos? Yesh Omrim Dehameriach Bepas." One opinion is that if you smell bread, yesh lo levarech shenasan reach tov bepas. So again, I don't know if this on the Makoros yet. I'm having it in front of me in the Mishabura. I mean, in Maseches Brachos, you know, we have the concept of a bracha on. Right. No, this is a chiddush of the Abu Dram, the Beis Yosef. The name of the Orchos Chaim. So seemingly the original source is in the Rishon. Right. So they would extend that. Then in the Gemara of Virchas Aperos, I mean, the Shulchan Aruch is saying, Amei Riach be'esrog. If you smell an esrog on Sukkot or whatever, you'd make the bracha of smelling. And some would say, no, it's best to avoid the question and not smell the esrog altogether because you want to put yourself into that situation. But again, if we're looking at the Be'er Hagola over here, like on the Simanim, you know, we're talking about a lot of Gemaras and Brachos over here. I ain't Maseches Brachos. Okay. So, yeah, you're right. So Stuart's pointing out that this Bracha of HaMeriach Shanasan Reach Tovapas is not found in Chazal. Right, so that's a very good observation you're making. The second opinion is that if you were to smell good smelling bread, you don't make that bracha. So again, the Ramah in line with the Shulchan Aruch would say, therefore, best to avoid the question. And the Mishnah Berurah points out that if you were to smell the bread, v'imeriach ein mivarech alav. Wow, you would not make the bracha. Now again, what's the lamda steward? The Mishnah Berurah just says, meaning, why would you make a distinction? In the same way that Chazal mandated that if you were to smell fruit and you enjoy the smell, you make a bracha. So too, anything you want to smell a good smelling smell. So you could argue that bread is not natural. Right. So again, you could argue the Gemara mentioned the guidelines. The Gemara gave you the guidelines. Right, very good. So Stuart's very sharply debunking me. Again, I'll just embarrass Stuart just a little bit. You know, Stuart is as a joke sometimes, and Shear, to ABC, I say, you know, when someone wants to date my daughter, I'm going to ask him to Shiloh. And if they don't know the answer, I'm going to kick them out. So, Stuart, don't ask. I'm telling you about maybe you have right. Don't ask these questions to anyone who may be in that situation. All right. So, a second opinion says in Mishnah Berurah, why would you not make it? The Ein Zareach Chashuv. This doesn't qualify. So, again, you could really try to scratch your head. Why does a bracha on a fruit qualify as opposed to a bracha on bread, which would not qualify?
The answer is that if the usually they come with the escrow because it's for the mitzvah. I think it's the same thing as like if you drink coffee, you have to make a bracha on coffee, you have to make a bracha bread on coffee. No, because it's for drinking. Same thing with bread. The bread is not to be smelled. It's not
right.
It's not a ranch.
Right, meaning when the bread has a good smell, it's secondary. So the Shaar Tzion here, based on the Vilna Gaon, says, but if you literally take the bread in your hand for the sake of smelling it, you know, then in that case, according to one man, the Umber, you would need to smell it. And then he concludes the Safik Brachas L'Hagam. Meaning, again, practically, it sounds like this bracha will not be made. But it's a fascinating shita. So again, either way, this is all in response to the shita of what's called the Chem and Moshe, because the Chem and Moshe assumed very confidently that bread is something that is not meant to be smelled, and then Bi'ur Halacha says, whoa, not so fast, there's a whole shaila whether you make a bracha on a good smell of a bread, so it's not so clear. And then the Bi'ur Halacha makes other points. He says, you know what, forget this whole shaila, whether it's intended to smell, not intended to smell, yesh le'eser mitam acher, deshema yavo la'ochlo. Says the Bi'ur Halacha, you know what, if you smell the bread, you might come to eat the bread. And this might explain why there is an Isser Hana'ah. Meaning, Abi pointed out that the Isser Hana'ah is included in the Isser Achila. So perhaps one way to understand that is that don't get Hana'ah from Chametz lest you come to eat the Chametz. You know, and maybe that's where the Bi'ur Halacha is coming from over here. That it's not a good idea to smell Chametz because you will come to eat it. Okay. So ultimately, what emerges on a very, very practical level? He quoted the Achronim originally saying that it is forbidden. And then he quoted the Chemed Moshe saying, seemingly, that what? That it is totally permissible. And then the Bi'ur Halacha comes back and says, it's not so clear that the Chemed Moshe is right, and I'll even give you my own idea why it should be Usser. So all in all, is it clear that it's Usser? Not so clear. You know, I don't think it comes Adams is like it's mamish black on white usher, but he does seemingly weigh to that side of the machlokis, right? You know, seemingly that's how the Bi'ur Halacha concludes. So let's see a different halacha, and we'll try to apply it to this halacha because, again, just to explain my story, so I can continue my own personal evolution with this sugya. So my father-in-law is a very holy, famous rabbi, Dr. J. Goldman's. So like Stuart Rubin, he's a big deal. You know, he publishes articles and all those types of things. And he for a present, once gave me and my brothers-in-law, and at least some of us got this for free. I guess, you know, sometimes if you're like in the right place at the right time with my father-in-law, like you get free svarim, you know, because people give him a lot of free svarim. And also, if he gets like a new version of a sefer, like I'll get the old version, like, you know, like the Netziv. Yeah, so anyone who has a Netziv, HaMakdavar has like the fancy new black, thick version. You know, I have like the old version. My father-in-law got the new version, so I got the old version. You know, but it's a good system. I'm not upset with this. Getting free svarim that are older, not a bad deal. Not a bad deal. Anyway, so once my father-in-law said, do you want the Sefer Mo'adei Kochecha? This is Rav Schlesinger of Gilo. The Rav of Gilo. So he said, so David, do you ever have anything to do with the Rav of Gilo, Rav Schlesinger? All right. So he has a nice farm. And he wrote the sugya up. So the first time I really learned the sugya was a little bit through Rav Ezra Schwartz, as mentioned previously, and then I learned it in that Sefer. So therefore, last minute, when Rabbi Mark was at COVID, right before Shabbos HaGadol, so I already had enough ammo. I knew where to look to discuss this sugya. It's actually nice because I concluded that, you know, during COVID, people lost their sense of taste and smell. I said, like, right now, the whole world is dull. The whole world lost its taste and smell. People are just so bland right now. It's so boring. And last Pesach was real chayrus. It was literally the first time since COVID that we were able to sleep under someone else's roof for Shabbos or Yom Tov. We were vaccinated, and we were able to go to my parents for Yom Tov, and my kids were, like, jumping for joy because they had been so trained by then and so, you know, used to not leaving the house that, like, they were, like, so excited. Like, really? We can go to Safdi for Pesach? So I remember that feeling of just how exciting things were all of a sudden. Like, you know, things got their taste back, so to speak, you know, just around this time last year. All right, so the big sugya that is related to this sugya is related to Hilchas Avodah Zarah, and a lot of it is actually in Maseches Pesachim. But the Shulchan Aruch and the Hilchas Avodah Zarah, Yoredeh Kuf Mem Beis, if Tesvav, Paskins as follows. Aser Lishmoa Klei Shir Shel Avodah Shkochad. So one cannot benefit from the music of Avodah Zarah, Oli Stakel Benoi Avodah Shkochad. You can't even benefit from looking at the images, nice art of Avodah Zarah, because you're benefiting from the physical beauty. Now, what's unique, right? Now, A.B. pointed out before, he said, wait a minute. The sense of smelling something is not something that you're really ingesting. It's not so muhashi. It's not so physical. You can't really call it something tangible. Yet, Stuart's saying, but you make a bracha on reach. So here, we're even going further to say that when you look at something, you get benefit. And when you hear something, and these are things that we don't generally make a birchas hanehen on, right? You make a bracha when you see something beautiful or lightning, thunder, whatever, birchas hashavach. But we don't generally view the sense of hearing or the sense of sight as hana'ah. Yet when it comes to avodah zarah, it's asur. But then the Ramah has the famous words. David, you ready for the famous words? It's not stam. Even if you have a newborn baby, this will wake you up. Because this is the key sugya. This is the key line. Umiu, however, davar she'ein mitkaven mutar. If you don't have kavana, mutar. What does that mean? You don't have kavana. What does that mean? So if I'm walking to Mount Sinai for mincha during Chol Moed Pesach, and I'm going to smell the good-smelling Grulan bakery baked goods. Is that b'kavana or not b'kavana? No. So first of all, Adam's pointing out, Avodah Zarah and Chametz are not the same thing. So let's learn a shach. Shach over there in Sivkot and Lamed Daled says, oh, Adam, you got me. Adam got me. I think it's explicit in the Shach, but not the one that I put on the Marmar Kama.
The Marmar Kama says if you could go across the street, you don't have to go across the street.
All right, so that
the same way.
Very good. No, but who says it's no? It's more than that, though. Meaning, Adam's pointing out that we're not learning Hilchos Avodah Zarah, now we're learning Hilchos Chametz. I'm pointing out that it's not unique to Hilchos Avodah Zarah. It's black on white here. Yeah, it is. Adam always gets me on these things. Adam, how do I know that Avodah Zarah and Chametz equal one another in the sugya? Because it's a sugya Maseches Pesachim. That's how you know. That's where it comes up. Adam wants me to point to a line and point to it, but I can't do that right now. Which is why you're a highly religious man. All right, we'll get there in a minute, though. We'll get there in a minute. We'll satisfy your question. Okay, but what is the contrast of a davar she'ena miskaven? A psik reisha, right? So it says the shach that, all right, so let's say you could go around the block, exactly what Rabbi Weintraub just said. So I could have walked to Mount Sinai in a roundabout manner. Granted, it would have been longer, but I lived on 187th Street, and the shul was on 187th Street, so I didn't want to walk straight to go around the block to come from the other side of Mount Sinai. I wanted to go in a straight line. But maybe to avoid the bakery, I have to go around the block. No. Says the shach, even if one has the opportunity to avoid it, mutter kishenu miskaven. The only thing is, what's a psik reishe? What's a psik reishe? Psik reishe, Hilchos Shabbos terminology that we're familiar with, is that if it's inevitable, that's not called shenu miskaven, right? If something will certainly happen, it's not a davar she'ena miskaven. So, Peter, would you argue that it's inevitable that I'm going to benefit from the smell of the baked goods when I walk to shul? Is it 100%? Why not necessarily? Why not necessarily? Right. So, even if the smell is there, it depends what they're baking. You know, there's certain things that smell good. All right. Or maybe you could say the windows will be closed, right? That's a shayla that comes up in Tosfos. Or you know, again, it's not so clear. But let's say it is clear that there will be a pleasant aroma. Is that a psik reishe? Do I have to like walk with a mask? You know, close my nose with the...
It's like when you're walking on grass. And you do damage to grass.
All right, so that's... Yeah, good. So it says the shach. But if you look at the Rishonim, he says, look at Tosa, the Rosh, etc. The whole sug is assuming that you're closing your ears and your nose from all this stuff so that you don't benefit. Then umutter kasheinu miskaven hanasim. Then it's mutter when you don't have any kavana, because not a psik reishe. Halav hachi aser. But if you don't go through those steps, it's aser. Oh my gosh, what does that mean? What does that mean? What did he just say? Midi, if you're going through avodah zarah areas. I mean, he's saying that not only is it not enough not to have kavana to not benefit, he's saying that you proactively need to preclude the possibility of getting, you know, imagine walking through, you know, a tour of the Sistine Chapel. You go to Rome, you have to basically leave, essentially, right? You want to benefit from, I'm not saying that, you know, Michelangelo's paintings is an example of a avodah zarah per se. However, you know, just to give an example, he's saying that you mamish need to seriously prevent yourself from getting hana'a. So before we conclude anything too drastically forbidden, where does this shaila come up in a contemporary posek? The Halicha Shlomo. I have in my hands Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Sefer. Last year, I was in a little bit of a bad mood. I was in a bad mood. You can understand that during COVID, you know, it wasn't always easy to keep my cool. It might have even been 2 years ago, actually. More likely, it was 2 years ago, the height of COVID. You know, I was locked up, you know, having to Zoom, kids Zoom. And you know what? You know what happens when I get into a little bit of a frustrated mood? I become machmir. You know who calms me down? Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach calms me down. You know who calms me down? Rav Moshe Feinstein calms me down. My Rav Shlomo Hachberg, he calms me down. You know, generally I find that, you know, Rabbi Yudin, the big people, they know how to always have Durachel Dorcheinom, right? So I remember thinking, Pesach's coming. COVID's here. I'm a psycho right now. Emergency purchase. I ordered the Halichos Shlomo, both volumes on the spot. Because otherwise, I would have been too. I'm telling you, I know myself. I needed to order the Sefer. And he calms me down. I'm telling you, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and maybe the most significant work is on his Rosh Hashanah and on his Hilchos Pesach. It's unparalleled. His Halichos Shlomo is dominant. So here's what he writes in the fourth parak on the Hilchos Pesach. Yudbeis. Here's how he presents it up top in the main part of the Sefer. So if you find yourself in a place where there's a pleasant smell of chametz, asur la'asot pi'ula shel she'ifat reach. You can't do something that is proactive to inhale the good smell of the chametz. Even though your intention is not to benefit. So imagine you take a smell, you mamish inhale. I don't want to have kavana to smell the chametz, but I'm going to inherently smell, right? So, I mean, that's already too much. I mean, you can't do that. So therefore, he would argue that as long as you're not being proactive, that would be mutter. Now, why is he more lenient than the Shasta? Did you catch the nuance there? Why is that okay? Why was that okay? So, meaning, why did he say that you don't have to go so far as to close your nose? He said, as long as you don't do something positive, an action that proactively causes you to smell it, you're good. What about the fact that you're walking through the area?
You gotta walk. Just try to be normal.
But what did the Shach say? It's a psik reishis, no? Why is that not a psik reishis? So that's the million-dollar question in the sukkah.
It will be a psik reishis.
Now, we assume, again, in the Shach, and men have shown him that a psik reishis in this situation as well, like Shabbos, would be usur. So this is the homework assignment. In the Dvar Halacha section, like Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's Lumdus, you know, like if we were in Yeshiva's Kol Torah, like 30, 40, 50 years ago, whatever, you know, this is what he would have been speaking about, you know, around this time of year. Again, it's a Gemara in Pesachim that says that people would benefit from the tzeil of the Heichal, right? Again, it wasn't the normal way of the benefit over there. And then he goes into a whole lumdus into what a psik reisha really is. And he quotes a Maharam Chalava, and he goes back and forth. And his main thesis, his main line, he says like this. Mikom makom near pashut, shim shoef, if you smell it, you literally open up your nose, kedei leshof arech, vadai maisa aser. That's what he wants to say. And he says, the whole sugya over there is when it went into your body against your will. Against your will. Meaning, klalahu deshari b'lo mechavim. Mash enkin ba'osa pu'ula miuchedesh al she'ifu midayita afilu enu meschav elhanos klal aser. So again, he has a pretty big chiddush over here that it's not called a psik reishe unless you really what? Are proactive. So again, you could have argued that a lot less than that is already considered a psik reishe. I don't know, does that make sense to you? That it's not a psik reishe even just by walking by it? No? I would have said it's a psik reishe just by walking by it. That's what I would have said. He's saying, no, that's not considered active enough. I don't know, what do you think? Stuart, what do you think? Yes, a lo nichal. I mean, you don't care about it. You don't want it. Right. Yeah, the different levels of psik reishe. Right. You mamish don't care. Right. So I think there, you know, subjectivity certainly does play a role. So again, I thought it was a little bit of a chiddush, but again, I'm happy to see it. And he's not the only one who says it, by the way, because this comes up in the old city of Yerushalayim, right? Famously, you know, people bake bread all the time there, especially the non-Jewish. They have a lot of Arab bakers there, you know, making chametz on Pesach. So Zilberstein here, this is in the Kovetz Moriah. Also in the, I found this on the olamot.net packet. On this, they have a packet on the sugya. So he says like this. So people are walking to the Kotel HaMa'aravi on Pesach. So again, isn't the halacha more strict if you can avoid it, right? So we just said that you don't have to avoid it necessarily. So therefore, he says like this. A psik reishe might be usur. But here it's okay. Why? Because you could argue that what? That psik reishe doesn't apply to any isurim except for what? It's a Shabbos and eating. So again, as AB wanted to say, that who's to say that the sugya psik reishe applies everywhere equally? So that's a big machlokes rishonim. So you want to say the das of the Ran, what's the opinion of the Ran? He says, who's to say that psik reishe is, you know, is to be applied everywhere? Again, it's not so pashut, but that, you know, that's a certainly at least one opinion. And therefore, again, he writes black and white that it's permissible. And again, it's cute to see that it's in the context specifically of going to the Kotel. So that's how people say. So again, it's also here, they quote it in the Sefer Mishpatecha LeYaakov, Rabbi Tzvi Ben Yaakov. I don't know anyone, I don't know, I'm not holding. But the Sefer Mishpatecha LeYaakov, again, Yachol Adam Lelechet LeKotel HaMa'arabi Derech Smatot HaShuk. So you can walk through the Arab Shuk and Chol HaMoed Pesach, even though they're baking chametz there. Imholech Kedarko, because again, be normal. You're just walking in your normal way, and you don't have kavanah to benefit. So what would be usher? So we had like three opinions. The shach was like, you have to like close your nose and like be make sure that doesn't get into your system. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, you can't do a pi'ulah. You can't inherently, you can't proactively like inhale the smell. And here the Sefer has somewhat of a middle ground of a lishos pashuk, to hang out in the shuk for an extended period of time. That might be problematic. Because inevitably, if you hang out there for too long, you're going to end up benefiting from the smell. No, if we, of course it's in the circuit, meaning, yeah, 100%. Again, there's so much here, in the sugyas, you know, whether Reich Ladmils is connected to the sugya, whether it's not connected to the sugya, whole lam is within itself. So again, so all in all, again, let's not veer from the words of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So again, you need someone as broad shoulders as him to just give you a very clear guideline. So seemingly walking to shul would have been mutter. No need to kind of walk around, roundabout way. Maybe that's a chumrah, a nice chumrah maybe. But certainly...
To
go out of your way to smell...
And it's a longer way.
Yeah, so that would be... Yeah, exactly. So anytime you're doing something proactive to enjoy it, that is a problem. So that's where the issur really begins. And certainly, you know, if your kavan isn't to enjoy it, and that's why, again, the Sefer Mishpatecha LeYaakov would say that's why you shouldn't even hang out in the Arab Shuk for too long, because you're going to enjoy it. But again, Me'ikar Adin, if you're going just going on your merry way, even though you're going to be exposed to the aroma, as long as you don't proactively, you know, put it into your senses, it's seemingly mutter Me'ikar Adin. But again, this is just a taste of the sugya, the smell of the sugya. So much more to say. All right, it is now 8:59. Thank you so much for coming.